I want to read from John chapter 15 and from verse 9, page 1083 in the Bibles in the pew. 1083 is the page. John 15, starting to read at verse 9. And I'm going to read to verse 17. These are the words of the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples just before his crucifixion, the last great discourse with them. John 15 and verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. John 15 from verse 9 to verse 17. And I don't know if you, I know some of you have got internet, so you probably use Google Maps and all that kind of stuff. And you know, if you go into Google Maps, I'll explain for those of you who haven't got internet, you go into the Google Maps, and if you want to look at, say, you go on, and mine anyway shows England to start with. And then you've got a little button you can press, and then you go in a bit further, and you can see Bedfordshire. And you can see Bedford. And you go home in right in, and then you can see the manhole cover out in the car park out there, if you go in far enough. Home's right in. You go in as far as you want. And you come back out, and you can see the whole continent of Europe in one look, if you want to. And what we're doing here is sort of homing in pretty close. You see, we should stand back a bit from John 15. I indicated when I started to read, this is Jesus' last discourse with his disciples. Last discourses, last words, are usually treasured by people. They know they're very important. But this is the last discourse Jesus has with his disciples. And it's a massive discourse. It starts, I should say, somewhere, well, you could say chapter 13. But I would go back to chapter 12, verse 44. You go right on through several chapters until you come to the end of chapter 16. Actually, I would go into the prayer. And John 17, because he said that in their hearing, so they were hearing him again. And I've homed in upon these, nine verses. But I'm actually not taking the nine verses. I'm homing in again, closer still. Of course, you lose something by coming in close. You gain something, but you lose something. If you look at a photograph too closely, all you can see is what they call the pixels, the little dots. If you see a painting, you can get too close to it, you can see all the little dabs and daubs. But if you stand back, the picture shows itself. If you go back too far, you can't see the thing. So you've got to get in the right distance. So there's a problem with homing in. But what's going on in this major section of Scripture? That's what I want to talk about. Now, I think most of you know me well enough to know that I'm a very disgruntled man, a very miserable man. That is to say that I am out of sorts with the present times in which we live, in all sorts of ways. I don't mean England. I'm not bothered about England. I'm bothered about the churches and about the preaching of the gospel. That's what gets me. That's my business. I'm with the apostle here. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that. And one of the things that bothers me very much indeed, and it has for a number of years, is that too many preachers do not preach the gospel. That they're much more close to preaching the law rather than the gospel. I call it recipe preaching. I call it penny in the slot preaching. I've got to illustrate what I mean to you. I think in many churches, so long as you wear the right kind of clothes and the right color clothes, and you carry the right version of the Bible, and you're always in your place, everything is fine. Now, I know that to be true. I remember speaking to somebody in America several years ago, and she felt at the time that she was in a poor spiritual condition and she was backsliding, and she opened her heart to the, I'll call him the pastor, the elder, the teaching elder. And he said, well, no, he said, you can't be backsliding because you're still coming. Just a minute. Because I'm coming to the chapel, that doesn't mean my heart. Just because I'm coming to the chapel doesn't mean to say my heart's right with God. I'm sure that many men look out up from their pulpits and they can see every... Well, I've seen it. I know it. I'm not making it up. They look out and see everybody there dressed in a sea of black. And the leaders are all wearing the same kind of hat. And if you're there different, dressed something like me, then I'm obviously a spiritual outcast. Now, I might be. I don't know. You're going to get me wrong here. I am not appealing for shabby wear in the... I'm not saying we don't come to hear the preaching of the gospel. I'm not saying the Bible version doesn't matter. But my friend, if that's our Christianity, what I'm wearing, an outward appearance, and because I'm ticking the boxes, that's what I call recipe preaching. Do you understand? I don't know if I'm making it clear. It's penny in the slot stuff. You tick the boxes and you meet the rules, and therefore you must be a fine spiritual person. That has nothing to do with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses, when he ascended the mountain, Sinai, he got the law for Israel. Yep. And he came down with 613, not 10, 613 commands. And they were specific. And Israel could tick the boxes. They knew when the Sabbath started. It started at sunset on Friday. They knew it. If you've been to a Seventh-day Adventist church, you'll see two notice boards. One's got the hymns and one's got a time. That's the Sabbath next Friday, 4:55. And they all know, when the watch comes 4:55, that's the Sabbath. They know it, you see. Now, that's legalism, isn't it? That's a recipe, isn't it? You know, you tick the boxes and it comes. Moses spelled out all these things for Israel. That was God's law for them. Now Jesus is doing the same here for his people. This is what the Bible's going to call, Galatians 5:2, going to call the law of Christ. And my contention is that we should be preaching the law of Christ, the gospel of Christ, what Christ says to us, and not these rules and regulations to make us conform outwardly. I want to illustrate that from this passage. I was struck with this as I was reading it last week. Look at verses 9 to 12. I'm going to read it again, and I want you to see if you can see it for yourself. You don't need me to preach it. Can you see something that comes, a kind of little chorus here? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. I put it to you, there's a little chorus, it comes three times in these verses. As so. Now, some versions have, and I've got a version at home, and I checked out this morning, there are other versions, the New American Standard, the English Standard version. Some of them actually put the word just as in. And that's how I'm going to read it, because that's what it means. Just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Then there's another one. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands, he goes, if you read the verse, you obey my commands. He puts it the other way around there. He's talking to believers here. You believers, he says, you must obey my commands just as I have obeyed my Father's commands. And then he says this in verse 12, my command is this, love each other just as I have loved you. Now this whole section, John 14:44 onward, is full of Jesus saying, this is my commandment. I give you a new commandment. These are my commandments. If you love me, you keep my commandments. He says this over and over and over again. He's addressing believers. And he is saying to us, if we are believers, saying to you, my friend, if you're a believer, he is saying, this is how I want you to live. And he makes a promise in this passage. First of all, he makes a statement. He says, I'm afraid you can't take it all in now. He says this to them. He says, you can't bear it now. You can't understand it. But I'm going to give you the Spirit so that when he comes, he will bring to your remembrance all these things. And he will show you things. He will take the things that belong to me and make them known to you. And so the apostles, when they write their letters, They all claim this. They all claim to be speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus. And of course they are. The apostle says this, I'm an apostle. And they keep making this point. And they make this point because we know now we're receiving the word of Christ. This is not an option to believers. This is not good advice. No, I think that's a good idea. No, my friend, that's not the talk at all. This is the word of God to us in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm saying to you that the whole spirit of this new covenant, the whole spirit of this law of Christ, the whole spirit of this gospel which Christ is preaching here and teaching, which comes out through the apostles, is altogether different to this kind of ticking the boxes, meeting rules. Now, I've got three things here. There are three, and I just put them to you. I just underline them, really. The first is this. The first element that I must grasp as a Christian, as a believer, the first thing I must catch hold of is that Jesus loves me as much as the Father loved him. Let me read it to you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. You taking it in? You're better than me, and I can't take it in. Am I really to believe that the Lord Jesus loves me as much as, just as, his Father loved him? I've said something very wonderful about you there, brother and sister. I mean, we sang it just now, of course, the tune familiar. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. But it is, isn't it? Vast, unmeasured. 'Tis an ocean full. Yeah. Are you going to remember this now? Are you going to think about this? This is the gospel. It's not whether I'm wearing the right clothes and the right colours and doing all that. That's all important in this way. But Jesus loves me. The little children sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know. My friends, let us sing it. And he loves us just as the Father loved him. So when the devil tempts you next, and when other Christians laugh at you, and when you're dismissed by the world, you'll remember this, won't you? Jesus loves me. And he loves me just as the Father loved him. That's something worth thinking about, isn't it? That'll keep me living for Christ, won't it? That'll keep me grateful, won't it? That'll keep me thankful, won't it? To think that he loves me like that. Unbeliever, you don't know what you're missing. You don't have a clue what you're missing. Believers here can say that God so loved his Son, yes, but now Jesus equally loves us. What an amazing thing. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I know they're thinking a lot about Buckingham Palace this week and all that stuff. I wouldn't change places with that. She's a dear lady, but I wouldn't change places with them for all the tea in China. I've got Jesus Christ, and I know that the Father loved him, and Jesus loves me. I can't take it in, my friend. I want to hear that preached more. Don't you? I do anyway. I'll talk to myself. I do. That's the first thing. Two more, just briefly. Obey my commands, verse 10. This is the next one. Obey my commands just as I've obeyed my Father's commands. You like the first one? Do you like this one? Are you walking in the obedience to Christ, his word? Are you reading his word to find what he says to you, what he commands you? Are you willing, because he's loved you, because he's died for you, are you willing to obey him just as he obeyed his Father? Now, I didn't understand the first one. I don't understand this, but I do know that he obeyed his Father perfectly. And I don't come up to it, but he still loves me. You know, some unbelievers, and you might be one, they dismiss Christians, don't they? They think we're sort of emotional cripples. And we need a sort of kind of spiritual zimmer. So we sort of depend on God, and we haven't really got the strength to stand. I'll tell you this, my friend, pardon my slang. But unbelievers haven't got the guts to be a Christian. It takes more than we can give to obey Christ as he obeyed his Father. The demands upon us are immense, but the treasures he gives to us are equally immense. I'd like to hear more of this. Not keep these little rules, but think about how much Jesus obeyed for me, and then I must seek to walk in the light of his word. That's why we're going to sing our last hymn in a minute. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Hey, that's what Jesus says. Ready for the third? First is, Jesus loves us like the Father loved him. That's a marvellous thing. I must obey Christ as he obeyed his Father. There's a third one. Verse 12. Love each other as I have loved you. My friends, this is difficult for you. You've got to love me. I'm talking to you, brother and sister. You've got to love me like Jesus loved you. And I've got to do the same for you. And you've got to do the same for each other. So there's no grudge bearing, is there? There's no gossiping, is there? There's no sitting over here and breaking bread with him over here, but you won't talk. That goes on in churches, my friend. It goes on. Let's get hold of this law of Christ. We forgive each other because Christ has forgiven us. We love each other because Christ has loved us. Unbeliever, it must be very cold out there. I know you don't believe it, but it must be very cold out there. When Christians really love each other, it's a very warm feeling. And when they know that Christ loved them, and that's why they love each other. Now, I'm putting it to you. I'm just dropping some seeds in. The time's really gone. I'm putting some seeds down. That's all, just dropping a few seeds down. I'm saying to you that Christ is doing this right throughout these four or five chapters. He's showing his law. But it's got to come to the apostles to tell us the full details of it. So when you read the rest of your Bible, and I'm sure you do read your Bible, I hope you do, you're reading to see how the apostles work this out, how the Spirit guides them. Now I'm going to give you a little hint, just two or three more minutes, don't worry. I'm going to give you a little hint and show you how it's done. I'm going to show you one place, only one, but only I'm going to show you one place where the apostle does work this out. And it's in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, you'll hear the echoes. Ephesians chapter 4, that's page 1176. 1176. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. I'm going to read just three verses and say hardly anything on them, but I want you to hear the echoes of what I've said this morning. They're just as it, okay? Just as Christ has loved me, just as the Father has loved him, just as the Son has obeyed the Father, just as. Right, it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Paul is writing to believers now, and he's writing this law of Christ. He's spelling it out. Here he goes. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Now that's got echoes, isn't it? Forgiving each other. Here we go. Just as, in Christ, God forgave you. Just as, you see. That's how we've got to forgive each other. Go on. Be imitators of God, therefore. There should be no chapter division. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as, here he comes again, Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is what I want to hear more preaching of, my friend. I want to hear more preaching about the fragrant offering and love of Jesus Christ to me. And I want to hear more about how much he's done for me, and how much he's loving me now, and what he's preparing for me. And then I hope that will move me to love all his people, and want to obey him, and love to see sinners saved, so that they too can share in that same bliss. I'd like to hear a lot more of that. I'd like to hear some of it sometimes. It's a very wonderful subject, my friend, and I put it to you to think about. The love of God for us, the obedience of Christ for us, and all the consequences for us. May God bless that thought to us.